Being a parent with disabilities can come with many obstacles, and our next guest says those obstacles include unfair treatment by the legal system and child welfare services. Parents with disabilities are brought into the court system by child protective agencies more frequently compared to non-disabled parents. Once in the court system, their parental rights are more likely to be terminated. Our guest says this is often because of discrimination rather than concern for the child's well-being. Robin Powell is an attorney and writer who focuses on disability law and policy. She's also a research associate at the National Center for Parents with Disabilities. Robin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you shared in a recent piece, Robin, stories of a couple of families who faced what you say is unfair treatment by Child Protective Services and other agencies. Can you share a story or two with us?
Sure. So a recent case involved two parents in Oregon who have two children, and both of their children were removed shortly after the birth because the parents both have intellectual disabilities, so lower IQs. And the parents have been fighting for 4 years now to retain custody of their children. And just last month, they were granted custody after a very long court battle for one of their children. However, they're still going to court for the custody of the other child.
And you write that they had a long list of hoops they had to jump through in that effort.
Yeah, so they were told they would need to take a number of parenting classes and trainings and so forth, and they did every single class and every single training. And after every course they completed successfully, they were told, now you need to do another one and another one. And, you know, I spoke with the mother, and she spoke about how she just felt like she was held to such a higher standard than any other parent, and she was successful in all of these courses she was taking.
And talk about that higher standard more generally. You write that a parent with disabilities maybe gets a closer eye, a closer watch from, say, a child services agency.
Yeah, so parents with disabilities are really held to this higher standard. They're supposed to be these super parents, and if a parent with a disability needs any sort of help or is assumed to need any sort of help, that just inherently means that they're incapable of raising their children. And the fact is that every parent, whether they have a disability or not, needs some sort of help. You know, it really does take a village to raise a child. And unfortunately, if a parent has a disability, they're just assumed to not be able to raise that child.
Can you talk about the scope of this? How many parents are out there with disabilities raising children, and what kind of disabilities are we talking about?
Sure. So, honestly, the estimates range right now. So there's anywhere from 4.1 million to 10 million parents in the United States who have a disability, depending on how you define disability. But very generally, I mean all disabilities. So I'm talking about parents who may have intellectual disabilities, as well as parents who may have psychiatric or mental health disabilities, as well as those who may be blind or deaf or who have physical disabilities. So a very broad definition.
And are there state standards, or I guess federal standards for that matter, that say, okay, in the case of certain disabilities, the state does have an obligation to step in, or in other situations, there are discrimination protections? What's the state of law on this?
So the Americans with Disabilities Act does protect parents with disabilities, theoretically, in these cases. And the ADA says that state agencies cannot discriminate against a person with a disability based simply on their disability. And it also puts the onus on states to provide certain accommodations. Unfortunately, a lot of states don't comply with this law and mandate. And moreover, every state has their own child welfare law, which says when they can terminate a parental right. And more than two-thirds of the states in the United States include disability as grounds for terminating parental rights.
And the goal, I guess, would be to protect children if a state stepped in and terminated parental rights. But you say it's more discrimination than concern for child welfare when this happens, in many cases, not in every case.
Yeah, no, of course, and not every case. But, you know, there's a long-standing research out there, decades of research now, that shows that parents with disabilities aren't inherently worse parents, that most poor outcomes aren't a result of the disability per se, but any negative outcomes would really just be a result of the situation in which they live. So if they live in poverty or have inadequate housing, that may lead to worse outcomes for children, but that would be the same for all parents, no matter if they have a disability or not. But nonetheless, there's this belief that because someone has a disability, they are just inherently unable to raise their children safely. And this is often just due to bias and speculation rather than any actual harm.
Robin Powell is with us. She's an attorney. She's a research associate at the National Center for Parents with Disabilities. She says parents with disabilities are often treated unfairly in the legal system and child protective system and beyond. And Robin, you've mentioned kind of the double standard. And I think you wrote if a kid of non-disabled parents shows up at school with a bruise, probably nobody thinks twice, just normal, kid clumsiness, whatever. If a child of a parent with disabilities shows up with the same bruise, people get more worried. They raise their eyes, sets off alarm bells.
Right. And one of the mothers I interviewed for the piece you're talking about actually talked about how at one point the school reported her because her daughter's ponytail was too tight, they said. And somehow that resulted in a referral to child welfare. And that is clearly just ridiculous. I don't think a non-disabled parent would be referred to child welfare system if their daughter's ponytail was too tight. So I think that does highlight really the discrimination and bias that these parents face.
Are there legal pushbacks around the country by parents with disabilities?
Yeah, so there has been a lot of advocacy by parents with disabilities, particularly in the last decade, I would say. Parents with disabilities are going to court more often trying to fight their rights. And also advocates across the state are working with their state legislators to change the legislation. So a number of states have now passed legislation that specifically says that a parent with a disability cannot be discriminated based on their disability.
I imagine we're going to invite listeners in a bit at 800-642-1234. People listening are probably thinking, okay, in many cases, yeah, but isn't there some point with a mental or physical disability where the demands of parenting are just too demanding?
I would say that you just have to look at the individual family, and anytime you make any sort of broad statement, that is going to result in discrimination. And the research really does show that parents with disabilities aren't inherently worse. The children don't have worse outcomes. And in fact, there are some really positive outcomes that come with having a parent with a disability.
What are some of those positive outcomes?
So children tend to be more open-minded if they have a parent with a disability, more compassionate, more resilient. They have stronger bonds with their family. All of this has been grounded in research and found that these families really are stronger.
And what would you want somebody who is maybe working with a local protective services organization or maybe a school to know maybe before they overreact in a situation?
Yeah, I forgot to mention that I actually was a social worker at one point, so I am very empathetic. I know that no one is out there inherently, saying, I need to take away these kids. I think that people really are doing this because they believe it's in the interest of children. But I don't think that the rights of parents with disabilities and the rights of children are not mutually exclusive. So I would encourage those to really think about why they believe these children should be removed. Is there some sort of bias and speculation drawing this, or is there an actual harm?
And you mentioned, in addition to being treated without discrimination, the Americans with Disabilities Act, in some cases requiring accommodation for parents with disabilities. What kind of accommodations are required in theory? How do they work out in practice?
So what I mean by accommodations is if a child and a family ends up involved with the Child Protective Services, these agencies are required to provide accommodations. So it's things like even just providing documentation in Braille for a blind parent, explaining things to someone who has an intellectual disability, providing sort of training. So a lot of parents who end up with Child Protective Services end up having to go to parent training. And unfortunately, this training is often not accessible for people who have disabilities. Things like providing interpreters for deaf people, things like that.
Robin Powell is with us. She's an attorney, writer, and research associate at the National Research Center for Parents with Disabilities. She says parents with disabilities face a lot of discrimination. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Were you raised by a parent with a disability? Are you a parent with a disability yourself? What have you encountered for better or worse? Call in now at 800-642-1234. Or if you have questions or thoughts for our guest on this topic, 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue the conversation with Robin Powell. She's an attorney, writer, and researcher focused on disability law and policy. She says that parents with disabilities are often treated unfairly in the court systems and face a higher risk of termination of their parental rights. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your story as a parent or a child of a parent with disabilities? Talk a little bit about what life is like or was like for you in this situation, and if you felt like you were treated differently, if you got unfair scrutiny maybe from a local child welfare service of some sort. And if you have questions for our guest, you can join in too. 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll go to our callers now. Becky is with us in Oshkosh. Becky, hi.
Hi. My statement really is we raise these people with disabilities to high standards, yet we have normal parents who aren't raised to any standards. In the case, for instance, the one with the 13 children who were ill-treated in that house, and they weren't held to any standards.
Becky, thanks for the call. Robin, she's agreeing with you, a double standard here.
Yeah, there absolutely is a double standard, and we have this high expectation that a parent with a disability needs to be able to do it all.
Thanks a lot for that call, Becky. As a culture, how do we start to change that, Robin?
I think it really comes down to how we look at disability as a society. Disability has always been viewed as something bad, and that people with disabilities should not reproduce, they're incapable, and that's just not the case. So many people with disabilities live really fulfilling lives. I'm a woman with a disability, and I've had a great life, even though I have a disability. It's probably because I have a disability. So I think it all comes back to how do we look at disability, how do we understand disability?
What would need to change on a legal level? Is this just a matter of saying, okay, we've got the Americans with Disabilities Act, we need to observe it and things will get better, or are there legal changes needed?
Well, you know, in a dream world, we have the ADA. It's 27 years old. This should not be an issue. Unfortunately, it is. So I think it's going to be on states to really look at their own policies and change legislation. And then the courts, they really need to start looking at the ADA and how these cases do apply.
Now, for a parent with a disability who feels like, you know, I think I might be being unfairly treated, I might be being discriminated against, what kind of legal recourse would they have?
They should absolutely get an attorney if they are facing any sort of child protective case. And also just reaching out to other parents with disabilities, because I think understanding and getting experiences from people who have been through this is really helpful in navigating this system.
We're talking about parents with disabilities. Robin Powell is with us. She's an attorney. She's a researcher. She looks at disability law and policy. In a couple pieces lately, she's written that parents with disabilities are often treated unfairly in the legal system, by Child Protective Services and elsewhere. You can join in if you have a story yourself or a question for our guest. Call in now at 800-642-1234. Let's go to another caller now. Angela is with us in Austin, Texas. Angela, hi.
Hello.
Do you have a story for us, Angela?
I do. I'm currently going through a CPS battle. My disability by Bade Wood would probably be that I'm agoraphobic, so I'm not about getting out the house unless I absolutely need to. I don't interact with people while I'm outside the house. I pretty much keep to myself. I'm on a fixed income, so, you know, prices have gone up in Austin. I felt my best interest was to get a roommate or a few. We went through quite a bit. But through the whole thing, you know, I'm making sure my child is okay. You know, he's fed, he's smart, he's very intelligent, he's four.
All right. We heard some of Angela's story. Her son is staying away with her sister while she tries to get things together. Robin, what would you say to a parent in that situation to deal with the legal system if need be?
I would say you need to make sure you have really good representation. Try to find an attorney who specializes in representing parents with disabilities, and then make sure that you get all of the supports that you may need in place. And again, I think it's really important to try to reach out to parents who have similar disabilities if you can, because I think sharing those stories really is useful.
Angela, thanks for the call and good luck to you. We'll go next to Jane calling in northeastern Wisconsin. Jane, hi.
I'm presents parents with disabilities. And you are absolutely correct.
Jane's cutting in and out there.
Make a judgment about.
Nope, not getting enough of Jane. The gist of her story, our producer says she's an attorney who represents disabled parents, and she says school districts hold parents to a higher standard. She sees all the time. Do you see this as being common in schools, Robin?
Yeah, I think that schools are often the people who refer children to Child Protective Services the most just because they see these kids every day.
Thanks a lot for that call. And Robin, what would you say to people in school districts? As you say, you're a former social worker yourself. You have empathy for the job people are doing in schools as well. What would you suggest to a school district in setting policy and standards?
I think that, you know, one of the big things is to try to work with families, and that includes working with parents with disabilities. And if you have any concerns, really reach out to the family. And also, I think you have to check yourself a little and see, you know, is this an actual concern or is this something that I am speculating against because I know the parent has a disability? And obviously, if there's an actual issue, you definitely need to report it. But I think it's really important that we reflect a little on how we view disability.
Do you see things changing over time, getting better or worse?
I think that overall things are getting better. I mean, we're now 27 years past the ADA, and people are increasingly living out in the community. They're working, they're going to school, they're being members of their society, community. And so now people with disabilities are often becoming parents at rates that weren't this high before. We just want what so many non-disabled people want. And I think that that exposure is really starting to change the minds. And I think that as we hear stories like the Amy Fabrini and Eric Ziegler that I spoke about earlier in Oregon, these stories are starting to get into people's minds and understanding of the issues.
Are there places, as you research and look around the country, are there places, whether it's the legal system there or the schools there or whatever, that you think are getting it right?
You know, I don't know that there's one in particular, but there are a number of states who have recently passed legislation that is really good at protecting the rights of parents with disabilities, and I think that all states should really be considering this. And on our website, which is centerforparentswithdisabilities.org, we actually have a map where you can see all the states that have passed this legislation, and I think that's really something that all states should consider.
We've spent a lot of time on the legal side of things. You mentioned earlier the idea of getting support. Are there support networks online, in person, formal, informal, for parents with disabilities where they can share their stories, their experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. So social media has been a really great option for a lot of parents to connect with parents across the country. And I'm also the co-founder of the Disabled Parenting Project. And that is an online community that's for parents and prospective parents with disabilities. And I encourage other parents who are out there or people who are thinking about becoming parents to really check our website out, disabledparenting.com, as well as our social media, because it is thousands of parents with disabilities, and they're all sharing their experiences.
I wanted to ask how important that is, because I think any parent, it can feel kind of isolating, and you know a lot of other people are parenting, but your story is unique in some ways. How important is that social connection for any parents, but parents with disabilities in particular?
You know, I mean, I think any parent, they need a support network. And when you have a disability, you're in this unique circumstance where you don't have anyone to model. You know, you grew up probably with parents who do not have disabilities. And whether we like it or not, we raise our children the way we were raised. And if we don't have anyone to model because our parents weren't disabled, we don't really know, you know, the best techniques. And that's where getting this support from other parents who have similar circumstances is such an important thing.
Do you see people stepping forward maybe on these social networks and becoming those role models?
Absolutely. There's a number of parents out there who are absolutely these role models. And the two people that I co-founded the Disabled Parenting Project with are both mothers with disabilities, and they are really the role models, I think.
And I'm trying to think of people in pop culture. When I think of role models, I think, are there people in the TV or movies or books we consume? Are there people you look at out there in the pop culture world, fictional or real, that might serve as role models?
You know, unfortunately, at this point, there are not. Disability is just not really represented very well in pop culture, unfortunately. There are movies out there. So I Am Sam was out in the early 2000s, and that involved a dad who had an intellectual disability who had lost custody of a child. So I do think that that movie did a good job at exploring the issue. The only issue I would say is that it didn't involve an actual actor with a disability as the dad, so that would be my only complaint. So I'd love to see more out there in pop culture around this issue.
And you mentioned the support network. Is there a place out there where people in your networks are sharing their stories? So maybe people without disabilities can go in, see what life is like, and maybe alter their opinions?
Yeah, so Disabled Parenting Project's website, which is disabledparenting.com, involves a blog where all different parents with disabilities write blogs on their experiences. They share photos and videos. And I think that just seeing those is really important, and it changes perspectives.
We'll leave it there for now. Robin, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I've been talking to Robin Powell, attorney, writer, and researcher. Her work focuses on disability law and policy. Her piece for the online website Pacific Standard is called Parents with Disabilities Face an Uphill Battle to Keep Their Children. She's also a research associate at the National Center for Parents with Disabilities. It's still time for you to share your story over at the Ideas Network Facebook page and find a links to some information, including Robin's article. If this is your story, if you're a parent with disabilities, we'd love for you to share that story over there. You could also email us ideas@wpr.org. Also, if you're the child of a parent with disabilities, talk a little bit about growing up. Maybe if you saw yourself being treated differently because of that. Again, share your stories. Find more info at the Ideas Network Facebook page.